I want to read with you a portion about from the book of Job, the first chapter from verse 20 and chapter 2. Job chapter 1 from verse 20 and Job 2. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him, to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin, yea, all that a man has will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord, and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal. And he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came every one from his own place, Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, for they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. And when they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept. And they rent every one his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads towards heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights. And none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. Have there ever been a man like Job? My dear young friends there, when the Lord say from you, how it is now with you, what had the Lord to say then? What do you think? What should say the Lord about you? And let we all ask it to ourselves. What do we think about ourselves? That's not the most important thing. What think people of us? Oh, that's a godly man, that's a nice woman. That's not really important. What is the Lord saying of you and me? That's the matter. And the Lord is saying from Job, he was a man perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. That the Lord himself said from Job. Oh, how happy are we when we have really the witness of the Holy Spirit in our heart. God himself, who gives witness that we are perfect. Perfect in Christ. That we are upright. And that we fear the Lord and escheweth evil. For what the Lord says from Job, that he says from each of his children. Children of God in our midst, by grace we are all perfect in Christ, in the eyes of God. I see no sin in my Jacob. For when our sins are forgiven and blotted away on the cross, we have no sin at all. Although we stay sinners in our own experience till our last breath, and we daily need the applying power of the blood of Christ. There is in the Dutch language a saying, sometimes I do translate Dutch in English and it's not so easy. Gods harte kinderen zijn smarte kinderen. The most beloved children of God has often the most sorrow and trouble in their life. That we have seen yesterday, isn't it? That sorrow and trouble is the way by which the Lord makes his people Christ alike. That sorrow and trouble is the way by which we are crucified from our flesh, from our worldly tendencies, and be drawn more and more to the Lord and to the kingdom which is coming. Job was a very beloved child of God, a happy man. He was rich. He was married. He had a family. A big family. 10 children. That's a blessing. A big family. When, I don't know how it is here in America, but when I say to people, strange people, and they ask me, and they say, how many children have you? And I say, 11. And then they look to me as if I am a kind of criminal, because I have 11 children. That's the situation in our country, average. It's terrible. But in our country, maybe here too, I hope not here, now, people take children. They don't receive children as a gift of grace, a gift of the Lord, but they take children. That's not the way of the Bible. And I know there is a lot to say about it, and that's not the end of this topic now, maybe another time. But Job was blessed with a big family. And there are among us also very many which are blessed by the Lord with a big family. 7 sons and 3 daughters. And what was so nice in the family of Job?
They loved each other. The boys and the girls, they were together. And that's very nice in the family, isn't it, my young ones? When you are together, when you love each other, when you help each other. And at the time, one of the boys had his birthday. And they had made it a custom to make a feast on the birthday of one of the boys. And then they came all together and they were joyful and it was nice. That's not wrong, isn't it? It's allowed to be joyfully. It's not wrong to feast, isn't it, my young ones? Thereafter, outside, you like it? A birthday, a feast. But then came the trouble. That's my first point. Trouble in his family. Then came the trouble for Job. He had a trouble with the feasts of his children. Maybe parents in our midst, you can understand that. Maybe you have the same. What was the trouble of Job with his family? Was he afraid that they should be drunk? That they should do evil things? No, not at all. That was not his trouble. That's not written in the Bible. I don't think so. They had such a godly father. He had such a good influence of them. But Job's trouble was the heart of his children when they feasted. Parents, is that your trouble too? How is it with the heart of my child? Is it sufficient for us that our children go to the church, don't do evil things, obey us? There is order in the family, it's a blessing. But it's not enough. We need more than outward religion and outward obedience. God is also now, my dear ones, looking to your heart. My son, give me your heart. Totally, all the day. On every occasion. Also, when you have a feast. How can you make a feast with the Lord? Is that possible, my young people? Can you make a feast for the Lord, with the Lord, and be joyfully in the Lord, so that the Lord may receive the glory of your feast? And Job had a trouble, for he feared that his children made a feast, and when they are feasting and making joy in their heart, they didn't think to the Lord. Ah, it's now so joyful here, so nice here. We have a feast. Now no religion. Now no God. Now no things about eternity. Not now. Another time maybe when we go to church, when we hear it at school, when we are reading the Bible, but when we are feasting, that hour is for us. That's our feast. Do you understand that, my young people? Is that living in your heart too? I yesterday said to the young people with which I was, nothing can do before you have asked a blessing. And you know all, you too, my young ones, that is written in the Bible, when you eat or when you drink or what you are doing, do it all to the glory of God. Is that living in our heart? All to the glory of God. Also my feasting. also my joyful things, all my life for the Lord.
But then you say, of course, who is living in this way? Pastor, are you living in this way? And then I must be ashamed. How often also the children of God forget God. And how often it happens that they are doing things without really asking a blessing with their heart. And that's their evil. That's our sin. And when we are a child of God, we daily have to confess it to the Lord. And we daily need the applying of the blood of Christ to take away the sin of every day, the sin of our duties, holy duties, but also the sin of our feasts. And Job had a trouble. I hope, my dear parents, you have the same trouble. What did my children on their feast in their heart? What did he? Maybe you know it. He built an altar. I don't know the names of the children of Job. They are not written in this third chapter. But maybe there was his name Joseph. And another's name maybe was David. And maybe one of the sisters was called Mary. Maybe. And for all the children, one by one, name by name, he built an altar. And you know all, I hope, also the little ones, you know all what's the meaning of an altar. That's a table, most of the time of stones. And their Job made a sacrifice. For each of the children, he slaughtered a lamb. He shed the blood of the altar. And he prayed for his children. On the ground of the shed blood, O Lord, forgive my children when they didn't give thee the glory on their feast. And so did Job, is written, continuing, not one time, but all the time. Oh, what a careful father, what a loving father. Fathers, mothers, what an example we have this afternoon from our Job. That's the fear of the Lord, to be cared for the heart of thy children. You need a new heart, a God-loving heart, a heart in which is living the desire to give God the glory also of your feasts, of your whole life. And then came the following trouble. Maybe there are in our midst, there are, I know, my wife, myself, maybe some others who lost one child. And to know what it is, you need the experience. Otherwise, you cannot know it, really. Some years ago, I buried a young child of 18 months. And they drove me in the car to the burial place. And near the burial place, a lot of people were standing and waiting. And I saw the eyes of an old woman. When I looked out of the car, she was standing next the way, the road. And in a glimpse, I saw her eyes. And I knew her. She had lost two children. Two children. And I saw, and it was 30, 40 years ago. They were small. And I saw in the eyes of that old woman a world
of sorrow. And it stroked my heart. It touched me. It came back. Maybe you understand. And then Job, he received the tiding. All your children, all the 10, are dead. A kind, very great wind, a kind of tornado, came to the house when they just were feasting. That's possible, my young people. When you are feasting, that suddenly the death is there. How shall find the Lord you then? People don't want to think about it. In our country some years ago, at New Year's Eve, there was feasting a big crowd of young people. A big crowd. And then the alarm came, fire! Fire! And I don't know exactly the number, but it were more than 50. 50 young people who have been burned. One night, there came a great wind, and the house was flat, and the young people were dead. What a trouble, what a sorrow. Who can explain that? When you feel the sorrow about the loss of one, what shall be the loss of 10? And then all your children. When you have 10 children and you must lose one, then you have still 9. But Job lost all. And then we see in this deep sorrow the power of faith. The power of true saving faith. The power of the nearness of the Lord. For Job could say, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And there is another remarkable verse before 20. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. Is that not wonderful? He had nothing. His goods, his riches, everything away. That's not the most worth thing. But his children, his dear children for whom he prayed and sacrificed all the time, who were burdened on his heart, their soul, their eternal destination, and now they were away. And Job worshipped.
I don't know where the children of Job were. That's not written in the Bible. It's a great comfort, of course. And maybe Job had that comfort in his soul. Maybe that's the secret strength. Maybe that he could believe that his children were at home, that his children were with Christ. For that I know by experience, by grace, that's the greatest comfort in the loss of your child. You may know that a child is hidden forever in the love of the Savior. May you may know that really from the Lord. How happy are that young people who are prepared for eternity. How happy are that young children who are prepared for eternity,
also when death is coming sudden, unexpected, and yet prepared, and yet expected. What a trouble had Job, this beloved child of God. But in the second place, he had troubles in his relations. There are two very tender and deep relations in life of men. The most tender relation is the tie between husband and wife. When there is a unity, these two shall be one. That's a very, very nice tie. Very comfortable in times of need, in times of sorrow. How do we need each other? Just in these times, times of loss, times of deep trouble and sorrow. And how much comfort give it then, when we feel the love and the comfort of each other. Therefore, the Lord gave us to each other, to comfort each other, to help each other. And Job, what had he? What appeared? For the troubles of Job became more worse. We read it from chapter 2, that the Lord permitted Satan to touch his bone and his flesh. Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown, and he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Are you listening, girls? Is that not terrible, friends? Do you see it in your imagination? Job among the ashes, full of boils from the sole of his feet till his head. What a miserable man. What a trouble. And his wife, what should she do? To comfort him, to help him, to show her love to him. She didn't that at all. Hear what she does, but she comes to him. And what appears now, she don't love him at all. And I fear she never loved him. She was not one in the fear and the love of the Lord with her husband. And now it appears, in times of need you see the best. What is living in the heart for each other. Then she comes to her husband and says, curse the Lord. That's her advice. Curse the Lord. Isn't it terrible, friends, to have such a wife? To have 10 children with such a wife? Well, in his utter need, she has only one advice. Curse the Lord and die. Make an end in your miserable life. She wants to say, what do I have at such a husband? Nothing.
Selfish woman. Seeking herself, that makes a lot of trouble in our marriage. A lot of trouble in our families, parents, when we are seeking ourselves. We are not seeking the other, like we promised. When we married in the house of God and gave our vows, not to seek ourselves, but to seek God together and to seek each other. But that's the cause of many troubles in families. When children see that their parents are not one, that there are evil words, evil thoughts, evil things. And how often we see it. I hope not in your families. We are not perfect, but when we love each other, there is a warmth, there is a love, and our children feel it. Though they are still very young, and they are protected by it, and comforted by it. But that missed job, a loving wife. And in the time of his utterest need, he felt so alone, so terrible, alone. What a trouble, isn't it? That for such a child of God, another tender tie is, of course, when you have good friends. Good friends is a rich blessing. I hope that you have it. Real friends. Friends who love you really. Who love you in the Lord. When I became to conversion on my 17th, I lost all my friends. But the Lord gave others one. And I have some friends, by his grace, with which I am friended in the Lord since 45 years. And yet from your friends you can more suffer than from your enemies. For when you love, and you have by grace a loving heart to your friends, they can make much suffering and pain in your heart. And sometimes they do. And that's a great suffering, a great trouble. It's very blessed when you have in the family real friends. And Job had three friends in the Lord, old men already, exercised in the word of God, exercised in the grace of God, united with Job in the true faith. And that's the most wonderful union, the communion of the saints. That's a great blessing. That's a great comfort in time of troubles. And they came to Job. And the scripture says to comfort him. They had a loving heart and a tender soul. And they agreed to visit their poor, troubled friend. And to comfort him. That's the way, isn't it? That we pay attention to the troubles of each other. That we try to comfort each other. That we may be a blessing for each other. That's the way, my friends. That's the way of the world. That's the way of the heart which is fearing the Lord. But how different is practice now. There they come. And they see. They cannot say one word. They rend their coats. They do ash on their head. And they say nothing. Nothing at all. Not one word. Not for 10 minutes. Not for some hours. But for 7 days. They are sitting opposite Job. And they say not one word. Can you imagine how difficult that is for Job? Say something. What is in your heart for me? Give me a word of comfort. But they don't. They cannot. They are silent. I remember in the time that we lost our child, that there came a man to comfort us. And he sat down in the chair. And he didn't say one word all the time. And I began to wish, really, Oh, men, shake hands with us and go away. I have no words either. I cannot talk now. My heart is full of sorrow. And when you have no word, it's not really bad. But go away then. Shake hands and go away. But go on. Do not sitting there all the time, silent, expecting from me that I have to talk now. I am not in a position to make much talk and joy now. I need some comfort. I need some word of God. Give it me. But he didn't give. That was maybe 2 hours. And I felt it is very heaven hours. Very difficult hours. But friends of Job were sitting on the other side 7 days. And when they began to speak, it became more worse. Then Job wished that they had been silent all the time, that they had gone away without saying one word. But when they began to speak, what began to say to Job, who lost his children, who lost in some measure his wife, who lost his health, who lost everything and nearly everybody on earth, and who has had now his friends, which came to comfort him. He had to lose his friends too. For they began to speak, and they said, Job, we know that these things no can happen. Not can happen in the life of a man who really fears the Lord. We can believe that. Job, we are very much disappointed in you. For we see now that the Lord is punishing you. There are hidden sins in your life. And the Lord gave you now what you deserve. Job, you are not really our friend. You are a hypocrite. That shortly said, friends, the comfort of the friends of Job. And Job became angry. He didn't become angry. He became very, very, very sad. And he answered his friends and defended himself in a Christian manner. And he cried it out, Oh, my friends, have pity on me. Oh, my friends, have pity. He asked, he longed, desired his whole his soul for pity of men, of friends, of Christian brothers, and he didn't receive it. What a trouble when you are quite alone. Maybe there are among us, it's possible, that you come in a position that you are quite alone, that you cannot find comfort with any man. And the Lord led sometimes his people in that way, a narrow way, a difficult way, a sorrowful way, and yet a God-glorifying way. For when you lose all people, you have God. God. You can never lose him. He is faithful all the time. And that's the third problem for Job. For till now, he could agree with the Lord. And it's written from him that he didn't sin with his lips. That changed now. That is the greatest trouble, isn't it? I hope you know that. When you miss the Lord, we can endure everything. When we enjoy the nearness and the love of the Lord, And
there are moments in the life of a child of God. Then we have enough. When we have the Lord. When we have His nearness. When we have His comfort in our soul. And the sureness that He chastened us. Because He loves us. As a loving father do. Oh, how happy was David. We heard it this morning, isn't it? When he had to fly for his son Absalom. How happy was he? In Psalm 3, what a rest, what a comfort. In his Lord, he could sleep very well, for he slept in with his God. How happy is the people of God when they have the nearness of God. But how unhappy they feel, and how utterly lonely they feel when they have not that experience, when they feel the contrary. When the Lord is far away, when the Lord hides His face for us, when we pray and there is no answer, when we are quite alone, O Lord, where art Thou? That's the position, that's the trouble in which Job has come now. What's the reason? Well, Job cannot longer agree with God. It's not difficult to say the Lord does everything good. His ways are always wonderful. That's not difficult, friends, when that ways are also in agreement with our ways. We are often praying, O Lord, let not happen this. O Lord, let not happen that. O Lord, give us, give us, give us. And then the Lord gives it. He is good. But when He doesn't give it, when He gives the contrary. I heard from a mother. She had to lose 3 children. And the first time she glorified God and said with Job, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the second time she said nothing. She was silent in the Lord. And that's also a blessing when you are silent in the Lord. But when they brought their third child out, they stopped the man. And they put the chest down on the floor. And she went to sit on the chest. She did her hands too high and said, and this child you can't, it's mine. A godly woman. How unhappy can a child of God be? And that's the greatest trouble. For in your family, in your life, you can endure everything in the power, in the nearness, in the strength of the Lord. But when there are moments that you have to say, when I see forwards, I don't see Him. When I see behind me, I don't see Him. The Lord has forsaken me. And that's not true, friends. That's not true. It seems true in the experience of the children of God. For it was also the experience of David in Psalm 22. My God, why hast thou my forsaken? But it wasn't true. There was only one who was really forsaken by God, who hung on the cross and who bore the sin of Job, bore the sin of all his people, all their rebellion against God, all their disagreement against God. Christ on the cross, my God, why hast thou my forsaken? And there was he standing in the depth of the hell. And there he paid all their sin. And therefore Job was not really forsaken. And still there is the cry in your heart for God. My God, where art thou? I don't see thee. I don't feel thee. I feel thy anger. I am so quite alone. That's the greatest trouble in the life of a child of God. For a child of God, my dear friend, when you are young or when you are older, a child of God
cannot miss God.
A child of God can miss everyone when it needs your children, your goods, your house, your friends. But a child of God cannot miss God and shall not miss God. For the Lord has come, for in the deepest misery of Job, the Lord came over one ray of light. We read in Job 19, verse 25, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." I know my Redeemer liveth. What a knowledge in the midst of all your troubles. I know my Redeemer liveth. The living Redeemer will help you in all your circumstances, in all your troubles. He will guide you. He will lose you. And he will bring you to the place where no one shall say, "I am sick." Where we are always in full communion, eternal, with our Lord. Where our hearts desires for, in our best moments, O Lord, to be with thee. And the Lord lifts up his child, and he can see over death and grave in the glory which is come. And my flesh is longing in the deepest of my heart. I am longing with all my soul to my Lord. Oh, how happy moment has Job in his troubles. Happy man, perfect in Christ.
Are you what? Are you jealous? Oh, I hope that the Lord may bless this day and this afternoon to make you all wholly jealous on a child of God. There is no man or woman in the world so happy as a real child of God in all their troubles and all their afflictions. The Lord is with them, and the Lord is in them. And the Lord comes back and he teaches Job. And what is his teaching? Very short, some head points. The Lord teaches God that he is God, that he is sovereign, that he is free, that he is perfect wisdom, that he only knows what is good for a man, and that it is what we have to teach to. We are the clay, and he is the potter. And then we are in our place when we are the clay. And then we have rest in our soul when God can do us no evil. And then he may do with us what he wants. God is good in all his ways. And afterwards, we shall see that also in this life, and the Lord comes over in the heart of his people. And what must we learn too? And that is taught and learned of the narrow way to heaven only. That all what we have above the hell and eternal destruction, all what we have is pure only grace. And the Lord shall do with each of us on this moment according what we deserve. We shall all fall down in eternal loss. And on the narrow way to salvation, the Lord teaches his people what is grace. Only free sovereign grace out of the fountain of the blood of Christ and the living water. Only by grace we are saved. Job is not better than his wife. Job is not better than his friends. And that's what we have to learn more and more. We are not better. That's what we have to learn more and more. I am the wretched, most wretched man on earth. Only by grace I can be saved, and shall I be saved. And the Lord is faithful to his promise, to his word, to his people. The Lord is faithful. He comes back on his own work, on his own time, on his own way. And all what happens has only one chief end. What? Well, when you are a child of God,
That end is living in your soul by grace. The eternal glory of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Let me thank the Lord now.
O Lord, we thank Thee for Thy precious lessons and give us by the grace of Thy Spirit that we all may teach them, that we never can forget what we heard this day, and that we in all our tribulations, our eye may be fixed on Thee, on the cross, where Thou suffered, O dear Lord, where Thou bore all our sins, where Thou were afflicted in all our afflictions, and there the fountain opened against all our sin. O Lord, be with us the rest of this day. Pardon all our sins also from this hour and afternoon, and give us Thy grace and to seek Thy glory always in everything. We ask it only for Jesus' sake. Amen.